3. KFXN Minneapolis, St. Paul, The Fan. Two receivers, right, one left. Ponder out of the shotgun. Takes the snap, protected sweetly. Deep to Percy in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Great pass, Christian Ponder. It's a 39-yard touchdown strike.
It's Vikings Live at Winter Park, presented by Sports Authority on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Vikings Live at Winter Park is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, Continental Diamond, Quick Trip, and by Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings. Now, from the Sports Authority studios at Winter Park, here's the voice of the Minnesota Vikings, Paul Allen.
Welcome to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, joined later by special teams coordinator Mike Prefer. He used to work with the Denver Broncos staff. Mistrell Raymond, rookie safety for the Minnesota Vikings. He also will join a little later, along with Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com, as we will analyze the Vikings and the Denver Broncos. But per usual, we are happy to be joined by Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier to commence festivities. Thanks to Sports Authority, the official sporting goods retailer of the Minnesota Vikings and founding partner of Sports Authority Studios at Winter Park. Good evening, Coach Frazier.
Good evening, Paul.
Mike Prefer coming up a little later, former coordinator of the special teams for the Denver Broncos. How much has he helped you this week from that phase of the game?
Oh, he's been very good for us. There's still some personnel from the club when he was there, and his insight into how they do things has really made a difference.
With the news of the day being Donovan McNabb requested his release, you had the press conference a little earlier for those who may have missed it or not read any of your quotes. What were some of your thoughts?
Well, you know, just want to wish Donovan the best. I mean, he came in and tried to help our football team, and he's been a great competitor in our league for a long time, and just wish him much success in the future.
Anything you can share on why now? Why with so few games to go in the season, he would want to be released from this team?
Well, you know, for him, he's a guy who has a chance to maybe catch on with another team and continue his career. But, you know, and having conversations with him in our discussions, just felt like it was time to part ways and allow him to further his career, or if he decides to retire, he'll have that opportunity.
Do you feel as a head coach you gave him a fair shot to do what he was compensated to do to lead this team to victories?
Oh, without question, in every sense of the word. We really feel very comfortable with that part of it.
And that gets into the fact that after he was demoted and you used Christian, it seemed from afar like Donovan handled everything beautifully. He was happy and gregarious around here. I'm not privy to the meetings and everything, but I never heard anything quietly about him causing problems or anything. So, you know, that can go one of two ways, right? And it seemed like he handled it okay.
Oh, he was classy all the way through. I mean, he was there to support Christian, support Joe. He's been terrific in that way. Donovan is a classic guy in every sense of the word, and you know, he did a good job.
Any regrets from your standpoint?
No. You know, I understand why the decision was made, and you know, just unfortunately, we didn't win enough games when he was our starter, and you know, we're looking forward to watching Christian continue to develop.
From a decision standpoint, with no off-season camps or rookie camps, mini camps, OTAs, and all that with Ponder, I can understand that. But is it fair to say right idea with the veteran quarterback, but maybe just wrong guy?
You know, with my familiarity with Donovan, that definitely played a role in making the decision to choose Donovan, and you know, I can't erase that. I mean, that was a factor in making that decision. So, and I can't say I would have done it any differently knowing how the decision was made.
Christian Ponder against the Atlanta Falcons, 68%. Into the game, a 52% guy, which is absolutely, in my estimation, who he will not be during his career. And I know a lot of factors play into that, Leslie, with protection breakdowns and guys not winning one-on-ones and stuff like that. But 68%, good efficiency number. That's who he's supposed to be, correct?
No question. And we expect, as he gains more experience in his career and is able to see more defenses, that's a about where he's going to be, Paul. He's going to be at that 65, hopefully 68% towel throughout his career, and which would be great for our football team.
The injury situation, Hussein Abdullah gave you some good moments, then maybe slowed down a little bit, had the concussion. He's out for the season. Tyrell Johnson's been a little in and out all of his career. He's out for the season. Michael Jenkins and Colin Loeffler, you know, a couple of consistent guys for you. Yes. Really, really good team guys. You lose them for the season. What are your thoughts on that from 2-9?
Well, it's unfortunate in each one of their cases. I mean, they're guys that are very competitive, have done a good job in trying to help us to get the season going in the right direction. And it's a tough deal when you lose key guys with five games left in the season. You'd like to have them, but give some other guys an opportunity to step up and play and show that they are worthy of this opportunity.
And is it difficult being a head coach with a team that is 2-9 and you lose legitimately good guys on and off the field? Personally, I think the Jenkins signing was outstanding, and if you had speedy guys to go down the field, maybe open some things up, we could really appreciate what he can do underneath, but that's a conversation for later. But you lose those guys and younger guys get an opportunity to put some stuff on tape and maybe help down the road. Conversely, it may not necessarily help you through the final five games. You know, try to win as many games as you can. Is that fair?
No doubt. I mean, you know, it gives opportunities to some young guys who might not would have gotten on the field otherwise. But you do lose something when you lose a Michael Jenkins, when you lose a starting safety in Hussein Abdullah. And but that's part of our game. Injuries are part of the game, and you have to adjust. And this creates an opportunity for some young guys to play.
Leslie Frazier, Paul Allen, Vikings Live at Winter Park. What have you learned about Percy Harvin this year that maybe you haven't seen the previous two seasons?
Well, you know, he has been just a warrior, Paul, all throughout the season. And he's answered the bell every time we've asked him and just been such a playmaker for us. And now with Adrian down, you know, his star has to shine brighter. And he's taken on a bigger role from a leadership standpoint as well as what he does on the football field. And he's been terrific in every sense of the word.
You know, and I know you tried to get loose with him on the edge in the Oakland game, but the safety shaded that way. And I think that's how you found Shanko on that big play down to the goal line. But, you know, we've talked for weeks about having somebody stretch the field so that you can pull guys away, maybe open things for Adrian.
Right.
And I've always wondered to you why it's Adrian, and you kind of wink at me and said, in essence, like, you're trying to do it, but something's not working to let it come to fruition. We saw it twice in the Atlanta game, and specifically the one on which Percy didn't score. He had the safety and the cornerback right there. Christian put it right between them, and Percy had to make a spectacular catch.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens, you know, for Percy, and I'm sure it's going to be the same way in the Denver game. He's going to have two people around him most of the game. That's the way things are now, especially with Adrian down and now with Michael out of the mix as well. So people are going to try to take him away and say someone else has to beat us, and that means other people are going to have to step up.
Could Percy Harvin be a full-time tailback in the NFL and be a Matt Forte type?
It's possible. I wouldn't put anything past Percy. He's a tremendous athlete and a great competitor, and he does a lot of good things when he has the ball in his hands.
Was Chris Owens that fast to run him down inside the five, or did Percy just get tired after going like 105?
I think he stumbled a little bit when he avoided the kicker, and that he never really regained his balance. Otherwise, no way he's going to get caught from behind.
And you've seen so many great players in the NFL, Leslie. Shoot, you played with maybe the best running back in the history of the game, Walter Payton. Not everybody has the ability to do what he did in that moment, where you're in a 2-8 season, you're wondering where the mindset is when you're down 17-0, you see things that we don't see, and then here comes Percy in his third year, does that on the kickoff, the sidelines erupt, and you legitimately have a chance to steal a win.
No doubt. I mean, you know,
great players have that to them, is what I'm saying.
When you take a look at the way our guys have battled, Paul, they have not gotten sidetracked by the record. And we were once again in the fourth quarter with a chance to win that game. And it was the same way the previous week against Oakland. So credit to Percy and his teammates for just continuing to battle no matter the record.
What have you learned about yourself and the team during the 2-9 season?
Just learned that our players are competitive. They are guys that aren't going to accept losing and are going to continue to fight.
What do you want to be different about the defense next year?
Well, we got to do a better job in key situations, whether it be 4-minute or 2-minute. We've got to be better in situational football, third down. I mean, those are areas where we haven't been as strong as we have been in the past, and we'll have to get better.
Adrian missed practice again today. Will he be listed as doubtful on the injury report tomorrow?
We'll know more once he practices or doesn't practice, and then we'll make a determination from there.
Is Denver a good team? Well, it's always good to have Adrian, but I guess what I'm saying is, can you run on Denver? Ryan Matthews just had a big game against Denver. Is that the way to attack Denver?
Yeah, well, you think that's one of the ways to attack the Denver Broncos. We like to go in every game thinking that we can run on our opponent, and absent, of course, possibly this week, Adrian, but that provides an opportunity for Toby. But we're going to go into it believing we can run the football.
I know you were asked this earlier, Leslie Frazier, Paul Allen, Vikings Live at Winter Park. Tim Tebow and his display of faith during games and after games. I'm not going to ask you to get into your faith or how you display it. You know, I happen to know you're very spiritually sound, and I've shared that on the radio. But with the way he does it, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's over the top?
You know, I haven't observed what he does. I've, you know, heard other people say some of the things that he does, and you know, everybody has their way of sharing their faith, and he has his way with his teammates and his friends, and that's his choice.
So would your feelings on that be, as long as you're not telling other people how they should act, and Leslie, you know, this is the way I see it, and because you don't see it that way, I think you're a heathen, then to each their own.
Yeah, I don't think you want to get into judging or telling someone how they have to worship or who they have to worship or what their religion should be. I don't think you want to go down that road.
It almost does worse for the cause,
yeah,
what you're trying to get across, you know?
That's not necessarily where you want to go.
What makes their running game difficult to handle, besides the fact that he leads it, he runs it 22 times, and he's tough to bring down?
Well, the option offense. You just don't see that very often in the National Football League, and they run it consistently. You know, you might get it a play or two from a particular team, but throughout the game, they're running option football. So it takes a little time to prepare for that. And one of the reasons they're the number one rushing team in the league is because teams don't have a lot of time to prepare for the option. So they end up not being where they should be when you have to defend the run.
So is one of the biggest keys Sunday, and it's a key every week to score first, get up early, take teams out of their element. But with this team, if you can open up 10 or 14 points, I know they've come back before, like on Miami, but does that compromise what they want to do?
I think it does. You know, the one team that really got out on them was Detroit, and they were not able to complete enough passes to get back in the game. So, yeah, to be able to jump out on them will really affect what they're trying to do on offense.
Chad Greenway, 39 tackles the last two games. Do you love that number? Or are there more things you still want to see from the highly compensated linebacker?
Well, you like those numbers for sure. I like for him to continue to make those big plays, create some turnovers for us, get the sacks. I mean, that's a big deal. But being able to create turnovers and put pressure on the quarterback and just making the plays that he has to make is what we need from Chad. And he's really come on of late.
I have a conversation with Mistrell Raymond, your rookie safety, coming up here shortly after Mike Briefer. What do you like about Mistrell and his approach on and off the field?
You know, Paul, he's a young man who has experienced a tremendous amount of adversity in his life, and he's been able to overcome quite a bit and plays with tremendous poise. In a lot of ways, he seems wiser than his age. He really has a great awareness and a great feel for people and how to get along with people, and he's very good with his teammates, and he's a very good football player.
Well, you liked him a lot at certain phases of the preseason. Then you settle into the veterans and let the rookies simmer, if possible, and let them grow. What do you like about him now? How is he playing now? Because I remember on punt coverage when he was forced into action earlier, he took a couple of bad angles, and the guys were able to pop him for about 20, 30 extra. Right. How's that translating to his defensive play?
Well, he finds himself now in a starting role with the loss of Terrell and then the loss of Hussein Abdullah. So his number of snaps are going to go up quite a bit, and so he'll get more opportunities to grow and become a better player over time.
Good luck. Thanks for the conversation. Thanks for being open every week, and have a wonderful weekend, okay?
Thank you.
Leslie Frazier, coach of the Vikings. Mike Prefer, special teams coordinator, next when we return to Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network. Welcome back. We thank Vikings head coach Leslie Frazier for updating us on what's taking place not only this weekend but with the season. I'm Paul Allen, and this is Vikings Live at Winter Park from the Sports Authority Studios, where we are happy now to be joined by Minnesota Vikings special teams coordinator Mike Prefer. Mike, Paul Allen, how you been?
Good, Paul. How are you?
I'm good. Sorry about the bad season. What are your thoughts on the 2-9?
Well, obviously, I'm very, very disappointed, as we all are, as I'm sure all the fans are, in the way the things have worked out this year. you know, you always like to say there's some silver lining, there's some positives out there, and obviously there are. But when your record's 2-9, it's very difficult to look past that. But, you know, we're staying positive. We're still working hard. We have 5 games left. We're going to take them one at a time. And, you know, we expect to win all 5 games. And that's the way I approach it. We're just going to keep plugging away, keep fighting. I heard Chad say that earlier, keep fighting. And it's exactly what we're going to do. And that's, you know, that comes from the head coach on the, all the way down through the locker room. And I'm proud of the guy, way the guys have been working. And we just got to get a win.
Plenty into which to dive with Mike Prefer here momentarily regarding the coverage teams and the special teams and the kickers and the new long snapper and everything. But first, Mike, formerly special teams coordinator for the Denver Broncos, share some of your memories with your days in Denver.
I have some good memories there. It was, unfortunately, it was only 2 years. Things didn't work out as well as we had hoped when we first got there as a new staff. You know, there's a lot of good kids there that I had the opportunity to coach, and I enjoyed coaching them as I enjoy coaching our guys here in Minnesota. You know, we had a Monday night a couple years ago against San Diego. Eddie Royal had a punt return and a kickoff return for a touchdown on the same evening and won a, you know, helped us win a game on the road against a good football team, and that's one great memory for us. And I just think in general that they, you know, they have great fans there, just like our fans and like most NFL fans in most NFL cities. It was a pleasure and it was an honor to coach there for 2 years, but I'm happy about, you know, even though we're 2-9, I am happy about being here and being on Coach Frazier's staff and working for the Wolves, and it's a great organization, and I really think we're going to be moving in the right direction. It's just not going as fast as everybody had hoped.
At Invesco, did you almost ever get trampled by that aggressive horse that runs around after scores?
No, actually, I'm pretty smart about that. I usually staying around the big guys, trying to get the kickoff return, you know, the kickoff team after we score. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get around the big guys, get them huddled up so that they can put them around me so they can protect me from all that stuff.
Mike, how did you end up here?
When Coach McDaniels was let go with 4 games to go last year, most of us on the staff knew that we were going to have to start looking just in case. And,
yep.
And you know, before they hired the new coach, Coach Frazier had brought me up here for an interview, and obviously I knew about his reputation as not only a person, as a man, but also as a good football coach. And I had a great interview here. I was hoping I'd get offered the job. And the very next morning after their new head coach there in Denver was hired, he offered me the job, and I couldn't say no. I didn't even wait around to see if I'd even have a chance to stay in Denver. I don't know if I would have, but that's a moot point at this point. But I'm very, very pleased about being here. I moved my family here in July, and they love it. Where we're living, we're around with really good people and a good school system, and you know, there's good people in this state, and I'm really excited about being here.
Without sharing company secrets, are you too far removed to look at Denver Broncos special teams work and then maybe bring some secrets to this weekend's game?
Well, you know, I know it's not so much secrets, and the young guy that replaced me there is doing a really good job. He's a good coach, and the players are playing well for him. They replaced some guys that weren't very good with some good players. The personnel people have done a nice job there. I don't think it's any secrets. We're going to study them. They're going to study us. But I know their personnel. I know the type of players they are. I know what to expect from them.
Yep.
Although the thing is, you know, the punter, the kicker, the snapper, the returners, the cover guys, they're all playing well, and they're even better than they were a year ago. So they've improved. They've taken coaching, and they've gone to that next step. I think the young punter there has done an incredible job. I knew he was going to be good. I spent 2 training camps with him and 1 season with him, you know, I'm proud of the way he's developed. I just hope he doesn't have a great game against us.
Britton Colquitt is the name, Dustin's brother, and his brother Dustin's been punting in the league for quite some time. This is Mike Prefer, special teams coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings, used to work with the Denver Broncos, and this is Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen. What's special about the special teams here, Coach Prefer?
Well, I think we have a really good group to work with. You know, with some of the injuries now we've had lately, and like everybody goes through it, that's not an excuse. That's just a reality. That's a fact. You know, you don't get to work with as many guys as long as you wanted to. You know, Terrell Johnson, who was, you know, because of some injuries, he was a full-time starter. And Jamarcus Sanford has become a full-time starter. Both guys that have been good special teams players here when they were full, you know, core guys in 4 core phases. You know, I think we have some really good players. Whether it's Eric Frampton or Kenny Onotolu or Chris Cluey or yep. Ryan Longwell, and you know, obviously Cullen, and then of course Percy Harvin, who's done a great job as a returner, and some of the younger guys that have stepped up, like Marcus Sorrells as young punt returner and filled in as a kickoff returner. So, you know, I know I'm gonna leave people out, and I don't want to do that, but I'm really excited about our guys, and they come to work every day. They're true pros. They know how to study, and they know how to prepare. They know how to practice, and we just haven't quite gotten to the point where I want them. And I think anytime you're with a new staff, that's what you go through. You go through some growing pains, and you know there's been some coverage issues in the last few weeks that I know the fans have been upset about. I've been upset about. We got to get those corrected. We got to keep growing as a return group and keep getting better.
Coach Prefer, with the recent spat of injuries, and I guess it would lead to Tyrell Johnson, maybe Hussein Abdullah a couple of weeks ago, not necessarily Michael Jenkins, but with the recent spat of injuries, how much are your teams affected?
Well, anytime you move a guy up from a backup into a starting role, you have to decrease their role in special teams. I'm sure you know yep. most people know that, but that's the challenge that I have. And the good thing is, you know, we brought in Jared Page, who I coached in Kansas City, who's been a good special teams player when he was a younger player, and Andrew Sendejo came over, I believe, with the Jets and the Cowboys in the past. So they've all been well trained, and they're good football players. Some of the new guys we brought in, Matt Catula as the new long snapper who had, you know, five really good years in Baltimore and played most of the season last year in New England. So we replaced guys that went on IR with players that have shown some promise or have done well in this league, and I'm excited about working with them.
Is Ryan Longwell in any way in a slump?
Well, he hasn't had an opportunity really in the last few games to kick field goals. We haven't had those chances, and I don't think he's in a slump. I think he's still Ryan Longwell. He's probably missed four this year, probably three of which, you know, he knows he should make, and it's one of those things. He just keeps plugging away, he keeps working, and I don't think the change in the snapper is going to affect him at all, because you know Matt's been there before. He's been on, you know, really good teams. He's been in the playoffs. He's been through the heat of battle, so to speak, but
yep.
I don't think Ryan's in a slump at all. I think he missed some kicks he knows he should have made, and you know we haven't had a ton of opportunities this year, and hopefully down the stretch we'll get some of those opportunities to put points on the board.
When you face quality return guys like a Devin Hester or Patrick Peterson, whatever, how is Chris Cluey instructed to punt the ball?
Well, obviously, you know, against Patrick Peterson, we had a great day. We forced four fair catches, and we pinned one inside the 10-yard line, and,
yep.
and our offense did a nice job, so we only had to punt four times. So he had zero return yards, which was very fortunate, obviously, going into that game. Anytime you face a great returner, and be honest with you, Paul, most teams have good returners. They don't have great ones like a Patrick or a Devin, but you know they all have good ones that can hurt you if you give them that opportunity. You know, we're looking for, you know, high hang time punts, you know, 45, 4-5, 4-6 hang time, and we got to do a great job of protecting and covering, because I tell everybody on the punt team, we're all involved in whether or not it's a good punt, whether it's protection, whether it's the gunners going down and forcing a fair catch or forcing the man to go lateral so the other guys that can get down there and make plays. That's the key to a good punt team, and we've been extremely inconsistent there, and I think the more we work at it, the more we put the right people in the right places, the better we're going to get.
Okay, Mike Prefer, special teams coordinator, Minnesota Vikings, couple of quickies to close here, including this one. It's probably going to be the dumbest thing that you've heard all day. I've been really excited to ask it all week, and I concede it may be preposterous, but you're one of the smartest guys I know over there, and you're also the special teams guy, so here we go.
Okay.
There's a study, Mike Prefer, I saw indicating never using a punt returner over the long haul would be beneficial to teams. No blocking the back penalties, catching it inside the 10, better chance to block a kick. Less negatives can happen over a long period of time. Do you think that's preposterous?
No, I don't think so. You know, but you still want to have the chance to return them, so you have the opportunity for a big play. You're talking about, basically, you're talking about having not returning them, right?
No, not returning them. Let the ball fall where it may. Send an extra guy to block it. Never have to worry about a block in the back. Never have to worry about a young guy catching the ball inside the 8, even though you've told him 15 times not to do it. Stuff like that.
Oh, no, no. Shoot, we got to go out there and return them. I mean, that's, you know, the only time I've done it, and I did it one time, I was telling somebody the other day, when I was at Northern Illinois, both my returners got hurt, punt returners, and I didn't trust anybody else to go out there, and I did rush 11, and the punter, I believe it was at Wake Forest many years ago, and the punter sank the ball because we brought 11 people. So I have done it one time in my career as a special teams coach, but the bottom line is that any time in this league, if you let the ball hit and roll, you're going to give up 50, 60 yards of field position every single time. So you want to have that opportunity to get back there, and I got to do a better job of coaching. We got to do a better job of blocking and executing, and we got to keep getting better in that phase.
Okay, so you think it's a preposterous statement?
Yeah, it's well, who said it? I don't want to.
It's some study I saw where they also said when you're fourth and six or shorter, even around the minus 40, you should go for it every single time. And again, this is not a one game or one season study. It's over like 15 or 20 years. And it's outside of the box, and I don't necessarily agree with it, but when I read this about the punt returner, you're the first guy I thought of.
No, I don't think it's preposterous. Is probably I guess that's a pretty strong word. I probably use that word. Yeah, I would hate to do that because you know whoever did the study probably never coached special teams. That's the bottom line. And if you go after the punt in a plus 50 area all the time, well, I'm going to fake one on you.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if you got Devin Hester, Patrick Peterson, or somebody like that, I understand, and that obviously doesn't play into it. But if like last year we had Greg Camarillo. I love Greg. He's a very safe guy. He's going to give you 9 yards of return. With all due respect, he's never going to get to the end zone. So therefore, it eliminates certain things like muffed punts, like what D'Imperio did to the guy for the Falcons. It eliminates some penalties. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting. Let me close with this. Do you aspire to become a head coach one day?
Yeah, I think any time that you get in this profession, if you don't aspire or have an ambition, I think, to be a head coach, then maybe you're not being real truthful with yourself. I do want to be a head coach someday. I think I'm very, very content and very pleased and very honored to do what I do because it's not an easy job.
Yeah.
And it's one of only 32 in the whole world. And that's the way I look at it. And I'm very blessed to have the opportunity to do this for such a great organization. But I love coaching special teams because, to be honest with you, Paul, it's very, very close to being a head coach in terms of being, you work with the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I absolutely love about my job. I mean, Mondays and Tuesdays are rough, especially after a loss, but Wednesday morning when the players come back, I mean, I just brighten up and I got a you know, a smile on my face, and you get the opportunity to coach the whole team again and coach the great guys that we have here. And being a head coach, I guess you get to do that same type of thing. So maybe someday the Lord's got a plan, and I'm not going to be overly concerned about it because I'm very content and happy to be where I'm at. I just, doggone, I want to win more games, and we got to go beat Denver this weekend.
Beautifully spoken, but the checks are better and the offices are bigger, sir.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm not in the big offices, and the money, I get paid plenty of money to support my family right now. So
that's awesome.
Believe me, with all the unemployment out there and the people that are struggling, I'm a very blessed young man. So, and I consider myself a young man. So, because I act very immature. So, I just want to support my family and help bring a championship to Minnesota.
That was awesome. Good luck this weekend at noon against your former squad. Okay, Mike?
Thank you, sir. Good talking to you.
Yep, for sure. Mike Briefer, special teams coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings. Thanks in part to Buffalo Wild Wings, the only place to watch the game when you're not at the game. So play the VIP scratch game and you could win a VIP experience, free wings and more. Buffalo Wild Wings, wings, beer, sports. It's the Vikings and the Denver Broncos this weekend on the flagship FM 100.3 The Fan or News Talk AM 1130, pregame at 10. Vikings Radio Network picks it up at 11. Then shortly after noon, boom, Coach Prefer special teams either tries to return it to start the game or kicks it off to the Denver Broncos. Again, it is a noon start this weekend. It is a noon start this weekend, Mall of America Field, the Minnesota Vikings, and the Denver Broncos. You are listening to Vikings Live at Winter Park from the Sports Authority Studios. I'm Paul Allen, all across the Minnesota Vikings radio network.
When is it okay for a man to watch football on a 2.5-inch screen instead of his 72-inch HD TV? When he's already sitting on the 50-yard line and he's streaming the game on his smartphone. And when is it okay for a man to watch football without a Miller Lite?
Welcome back to Vikings Live at Winter Park. I'm Paul Allen, joined by Minnesota Vikings rookie safety, Mistrell Raymond. He's a safety from South Florida, and he joins Vikings Live at Winter Park now. Mistrell, Paul Allen, how have you been?
I've been just fine, man. You know, just working and trying to get better each and every day.
With those wonderful locks you have you ever walked around Eden Prairie Center or Minnesota and had anybody mistake you for Devin Aromashadu?
I've had a few Devin Aromashadu miscomparisons a number of times, but mostly I get a lot of the E.J. Henderson stuff, and I don't know how we're not nearly the same size.
What if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, aren't you Steve Hutchinson? Then you really got a problem.
You know, they really have a problem.
How's the season been for you? It's been a little eye-opening, I would imagine, from playing a lot at South Florida and doing what you've done, and then having to come into the National Football League and wait your turn. Your turn has arrived, but I've seen you every step of the way. It's been eye-opening for you, hasn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely has. And, you know, just being here and getting these experiences is, you know, what really matters the most, you know. But definitely, you know, the season hasn't gone just the way we've expected it to or the way we had hoped for. But, you know, the thing about it, these guys are still upbeat every day. You know, it's coming out and competing. And, you know, that's what makes it so special to be here and be a part of this team.
Your nickname is Bubba?
Yeah, that is one of my nicknames, but that's my nickname from birth. So a lot of family, and you know, that's what they refer to me as.
Mistrell's a beautiful name. Why would you ever need any kind of a nickname?
That's an interesting little story behind it.
One that can be shared on the radio or in private?
Well, absolutely. Here's the story. My sister, Nanice, she's 11 months older than I am.
And yeah.
When I was first born, she was just hitting that phase where she was learning to talk. And she tried to say, you know, this is my little brother, but it sounded like this is my little Bubba, and it just kind of stuck.
I thought you were going to say that people thought you guys looked alike, and they started calling her E.J. Henderson. Mistrell, I understand you met President Barack Obama. That took place in the offseason, correct?
No, actually, that took place when I was down in junior college and back in 07. I had the opportunity to meet with him and meet with his wife and just sit with him and have a nice little conversation.
Yep.
Great experience.
You're a six-round draft pick, pick 170. You go 6'2", 192, according to official records. What's been eye-opening in the National Football League for you now that you're getting the opportunity to play what you want to play, some safety? Lord knows you're going to get a lot of reps this weekend against a run-first team. What's been eye-opening for you, Mistrell?
Just studying the game, you know, week in and week out, and the way my teammates and I, we prepare, and then coming out and, you know, executing the game plan. And, you know, you'll see something on film, and then you'll see it in the game, and as the game goes on, you'll get the feel of certain things, and the way guys anticipate things and make plays and play at such a fast speed has really been what, you know, I've been trying to get up to that level and play at that same speed as a lot of these other guys, like Chad and Jared and those guys, you know. So that's been the thing that's really caught my eye.
How have coverage teams gone for you, Mistrell? Because I noticed in the early stages when you were active every Sunday, with all due respect, you took some bad angles on a couple of plays where they popped us a little bit. Has that gotten better?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would say it has. And, you know, the repetitions are the father of learning. And the more you get out and the more you get real-life game experience, you know, the better off you'll be to be prepared for those situations when guys coming your way again. So, you know, just getting those valuable reps has been really vital to me and my progress. And, you know, hopefully this week I could go out and, you know, be productive and help this team try to get a win.
What's football like in the Big East? You played at South Florida. I would imagine there were times you came from South Florida had to go up to like Rutgers or schools and maybe even Pitt or something like that. It's all cold outside and everything.
Yeah, and it's some hostile environments, man. Those West Virginia fans are die hard, man. And those Rutgers fans, I mean, even up in UConn and the climate up there and the snow, I mean, you're going to find yourself in some rough environments. You know, just have to try to stay dialed in and stay focused. And I think that really kind of playing in that conference kind of helped me be here because these NFL fans are just a bit over the top.
Mistrell Raymond, rookie safety from South Florida for the Minnesota Vikings. We hook the Denver Broncos this weekend at noon. That's when the kickoff is here on the Vikings Radio Network. Mistrell, what's your opinion of the way Tim Tebow handles his faith publicly, either on the field or to the media?
You know, it's inspirational, you know, for a guy to, you know, everything he's accomplished and everyone wants to point the finger at him and shine a light on him. And, you know, he's reflecting that light, you know, to his Lord and Savior and to what he believes in, you know. So it's special the way he does things and the way he goes about it and his life and how he approaches everyday life. And it just kind of inspires a lot of people. And, you know, a lot of people look up to that. And coming from Florida, I know what his fan base is like down there, you know. So he's a special guy and he's doing some special things for that franchise.
What was his fan base like down there?
Man, I'm telling you right now, if you fly to any city in the state of Florida right now,
really,
and step off the plane and shout Tim Tebow, you'll have 20 people pass out in the airport. Mm. I mean, they love him down there, and it's just a testament of the work he puts in and people believing in him and what he stands for, you know.
We found something from a Yahoo story posted today by Les Carpenter, yahoo.yahoosports.com.
Yes.
Quote, there are, in the NFL, so many stories of survival and perseverance. Mr. L. Raymond knows that firsthand all too well. Most of his half-brothers found their way to jail. So did many of his friends. His father was rarely around. His house burned down. His mother died. His half-sister would be found dead in a case that still has not been resolved. When you hear that or read that, what kind of emotions does it draw from you, Mr. L?
Just makes me want to work harder, man. You know, just so much has gone on my path, and every man has his own path, you know, so I don't ever look back at my path and wish it had turned out a different way, you know, because it made me the person I am today, yep. You know, but it really taught me so much about, you know, just how to stay focused, man, and I just learned how to stay focused through all that stuff and just how to fight through every day and realize how blessed I am and what position I'm in to, you know, be a light for my family, and, you know, I take that approach to work each and every day.
And some of this took place within the last year, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
What privately, and if you're not comfortable sharing, I completely understand, but what was there a low time for you where you were by yourself and you're like, this is unbelievable. I mean, I almost don't feel like I can go on.
Honestly, yeah, there were a number of times where, you know, I'd be alone and I just have time to really reflect on everything and eyeball the situation for what it really is. And, you know, I mean, it's some tragic stuff, you know, involved in that. Yeah, I mean, clearly, but, you know, just got to keep moving, man. And that's the thing about it. You know, you never want to sit there and grope too much. And because yep. If you do, you can find yourself sitting there all day. And when you sit there all day, nothing gets accomplished that day and no production, you know. And I'm just a guy that likes to try to produce every day and get better and you know, learn and gain more wisdom and knowledge, you know. And that's what I'm seeking every day.
Yep. And Mr. L, I'm not trying to be your dad or anything, but I've had a lot of death in my family the last 5 years. And
yeah.
I can say, man, friend to friend, employee to employee, is suppressing it, that's a mistake too. I mean, it's such a fine line when you experience the tragedy you have experienced between just screaming and letting it out as opposed to suppressing it and keeping it in, because then that does damage that you can't see right now. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I think everyone handles those type of situations differently. And, I mean, in a way, people would kind of say that I was kind of a suppressor and I kind of, you know, kept everything in and I didn't speak on it much, you know, but I kind of dealt with it in my own way. You know, yeah. I just always wanted to be the guy that, you know, everybody's heads down and the tears are rolling. You know, I was the guy that they could look at and say, man, he's standing strong. How does he do it? And I want to be like that, you know, so just kind of give everybody a little hope and know that everything's going to be all right, you know, but, you know, in my private moments, you know, I've had those type of moments, so I know all about it.
Rookie safety, Mr. L. Raymond, couple of quickies to close here on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Mr. L, being close removed from college, South Florida, I know you've seen the pistol formation a thousand times. You saw it with Carolina and Cam Newton earlier this year on film, but in Denver, they use the power eye, the inverted wishbone, with the two guys in front of the tailback, say it's Willis McGahee, and they do it out of the shotgun. I'm going to call it the power pistol. I've never seen anything like it before in my life in the NFL.
Yeah, that power pistol packs a powerful punch as well. And, you know, they're doing some special things with it. And, man, they have a very, very unique athlete back there at the quarterback position. And he's doing some great things. And he's managing himself very well. I don't know if it's 5-1 as a starter is his storyline, you know. But obviously he's doing some things right. You know, he still tends to make mistakes in that. But, you know, as a rookie in this league and playing that position, you know, that's going to happen. But for the most part, you know, he's doing what everybody knows for him to do. And that's produce week in and week out. And frankly, to win. And, you know, this is going to be an interesting task for us. And, you know, just go out and just stay true to our game plan and what we've learned throughout the weekend and take those coaching points and take them to the field and try to get a win.
Do you think you'll play every snap, or do you think you'll be splitting time with somebody?
Well, you know, I definitely, you know, as a competitor, you want to be out there as often as you can, and you want to be out there every play and try to make that play your play to step up and you know, do something special. So, you know, I would look to being out there as often as I can, you know, regardless of the situation.
As a safety against a run-first offense, Mr. L, I mean, they may run it 75-80% of the time. But boom, guess badly one time, they go play action, and there's Eric Decker wide open. You got to be very careful.
Yeah, it's a tricky offense, you know. And like I said, they know what they're doing over there. They're having success with it, you know. But it all comes down to, like I said, just studying throughout the weekend and staying true to your game plan. And, you know, when opportunity comes to make a play, you know, you have to make that play, because not too many of those opportunities are going to come your way. And, you know, it's all about discipline, you know, just playing with your eyes and being focused and tune into your keys. And, you know, it's going to be a fun game, you know, regardless. Anytime you have the opportunity to get on the field, it's a blessing, and you got to appreciate it. You know, so we're going to have some fun Sunday, but at the same time, it's a business deal, and you know, we're trying to close out that deal with a W.
Mr. L, you're a wonderful, open, outspoken young man, and I wish you nothing but success this weekend with the rest of your career and through all the tragedy you've suffered. May God be with you if that works for you, and I look forward to seeing you out there, okay?
All right, appreciate you having me on. Y'all have a great day.
No problem. Bye-bye.
All right.
Mr. L. Raymond, safety for the Minnesota Vikings. Big opportunity for him this weekend. That's the business of the National Football League, especially from 2-9. When injury matches insult, you get guys who are negative, like Hussein Abdullah. I mean, I love that kid. I've seen him all of his career here as an undrafted guy from Washington State make a nice career for himself. Then he had a concussion, and he can't get around it, so he's out for the year. And with that, with injury like that leading to the insult of the 2-9 Minnesota Vikings, comes opportunity. Tyrell Johnson, another safety taken in the second round a few years ago, he's out for the season. So what does that mean? Jamarcus Sanford, a run thumper, he has received opportunity, but he'll get more because he's experienced. What does that mean for Mr. L. Raymond? He'll make mistakes. He's made mistakes on punt coverage. I brought it up to him earlier where he took a couple of bad angles and within the last five games, and you know, those things, instead of popping for like 8 or 9, probably went for somewhere between 20 and 40. But that's what happens to rookies in the National Football League. And with the 2-9 comes opportunity, and I really, really hope Mr. L. Raymond succeeds with the Minnesota Vikings, because there's an opportunity to become a starting safety for this team next year. And they were high on Mr. L. during training camp. He put some good things on film, but then you couldn't find him during the regular season, and that's generally what happens in the NFL. This opportunity is here for Mr. L. Raymond, Christian Ballard, Everson Griffin, Aaron Henderson, and Marcus Sherrills, and a lot of the youngsters on the Vikings defensive roster. Hopefully they're up to the task and are willing to capitalize. We thank Mr. L. Raymond for joining us on Vikings Live at Winter Park. When we return, Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com handicaps the contest between the Vikings and the Denver Broncos. I'm Paul Allen. This is Vikings Live at Winter Park on the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.
Final segment on Vikings Live at Winter Park. Welcome back. I'm Paul Allen, about to be joined by my dear friend Mike Wabshaw from Vikings.com. But first, make sure to join yours truly and Paul Charchian tomorrow morning from 9 to noon at Buffalo Wild Wings in Plymouth. It's the Friday Football Feast. It's Buffalo Wild Wings in Plymouth. Check out the complete schedule at Vikings.com or via my show page, the Paul Allen Show page at KFAN.com. Wabi from Vikings.com joins now. The challenge that is the Broncos, your thoughts?
Well, I think there's two big storylines when you face the Denver Broncos. One is Tim Tebow and the way he's infused that entire franchise with energy, especially on the field, winning 5 of their last 6 games. The second is their defense, which deserves as much credit for the winning streak that they've gone on, and rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year, probable, Von Miller, with 11 sacks, and he's just been tearing up the AFC. The Broncos are coming off 3 wins on the road in their division, really a hot team, and I just think you got to look at Tim Tebow, an 8-1 touchdown interception ratio, very good. Low completion percentage, a little bit of struggles throwing the ball, but this is a great running team, number one in the NFL, and Tim Tebow runs the option at quarterback better than anyone I've ever seen.
The Broncos are on a winning streak, and in fact, I believe have won 4 consecutive road games, and they're winning at San Diego, they're coming back at Oakland, at Miami. They're really making some good memories on the road. Do you think they're winning more because of their offense or defense, and why?
It's a tough question. I don't want to take anything away from Tim Tebow, because I like him. I like Tim Tebow, and I like him off the field, and I like him on the field. He's coming through at the end of games. He had a 95-yard drive against the Jets to win that game at home on NFL Network in prime time and really captured a lot of people's attention. Yep. But for 90% of the game, the defense is just dominating teams and is keeping an inefficient offense. That defense is preventing the bad offense from losing those games. It's keeping Denver in the games, and then Tebow comes up big time at the end of games to win it. I think both are helping him win, but to answer your question, I would say it's the defense. Von Miller and Elvis Dumervil coming off the edge, rushing the passer, making plays. Champ Bailey can still play a little bit at cornerback. I really like their other defensive end, Robert Ayers, and they have an outside linebacker named DJ Williams. I like him a lot. I think they're really strong on the edges defensively, but up the middle of that defense, I think, is where they have a little bit of vulnerability.
And you would think attacking it with a running game would be the preferred approach, and I'm sure the Vikings will do that. I talked to Leslie Frazier atop the show, and you know, I asked him about Adrian Peterson this weekend, and he was non-committal like a head coach would be, but Adrian did not practice again today. I asked Leslie if he would be listed as doubtful on the injury report after Friday, and he would not commit to that. Mm-hmm. My guess is I don't think Adrian's going to play this weekend, and it's kind of a shame if you're really trying to win the game, because this is the kind of game where Adrian could really amass a lot of yards. But you know what? It'll be another opportunity for Toby Gerhard, who had a touchdown last week. He's not explosive like Adrian, but he also is a second-round pick who is your backup running back, and if Adrian's down, you got to trust the other guy.
I completely agree, and this is why you get a guy like Toby Gerhart. When you're a team that's built to run, Paul, like the Vikings are, you need a guy like Toby Gerhart who you can stick in the game, and he has the capability of rushing for 85 or 100 yards. And this is an interesting matchup between the Vikings and the Broncos. The Broncos obviously come in looking like the better team, and they're the hotter team. But when you match these teams up, it's actually a good matchup for the Vikings, because the Vikings are offensively going to be a straight ahead team. They're going to run up the middle. We've seen Christian Ponder make beautiful throws to Percy Harvin and Vasante Shenko down the seam. That's where you're supposed to attack this Denver Broncos defense. Flip side of the ball, Denver, their bread and butter is the rushing game, but the Vikings have a top 10 rushing defense. It's been top 5 most of the season.
Yep.
That's where the Vikings defense excels, at stopping the running game. So it's kind of strength versus strength for both of these teams. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Everson Griffin is showing up pretty well. He had another sack. Leslie told me in our chat that he's going to play markedly more this weekend. And the good thing about Everson, you can play him at tackle, defensive end, or that floating linebacker bit. I bet you he plays a lot of that roving linebacker bit in a game like this.
Good. And, you know, I really hope so. He's been a great player for us, a great young player, really a guy on the rise. And you mentioned that roving linebacker. We kind of tend to forget about that because that was early in the season, late preseason, early regular season. He was effective in that role. One thing I really like about Everson's game is when they involve him in stunts. And when I've seen Everson make a couple of impact plays, it's when he's lined up at left defensive end and he's run a stunt with the defensive tackle, where the defensive tackle breaks to his left to the outside. Everson loops around in the inside and penetrates up the middle. That's where I think he's really good, and it'll be fun to watch him play a lot more.
Thank you, Michael. Have a good weekend.
Okay, thanks, Paul.
Mike Wobshaw, Vikings.com. Follow his written content and also the video work they do through the Vikings Entertainment Network, and learn more at Vikings.com. We thank Joe Nelson, Ryan Donaldson, Jay Nelson, and everybody here with the Vikings Entertainment Network for assisting us on Vikings Live at Winter Park this weekend. I'm Paul Allen. For all of us at Winter Park, have a wonderful evening, and thanks for listening to the Minnesota Vikings Radio Network.